Have you ever wondered what your exact hair or skin type is? Do you ever try way too many products and nothing works? What if there was a solution to all these problems and you were able to self-discover your own skin type and hair type and get personalized solutions to help you? Would you want to find out?
Hi, welcome to Coats and Mascara, an exploration into India's fashion and beauty industry and its untapped potential, a show where we identify cultural trends and dissect the business opportunities across the ever-evolving beauty and fashion landscape in India. I'm Disha, your host. I'm a fashion designer and luxury brand consultant at House of Identities.
And I'm Sharvari, your host, a management consultant and a beauty enthusiast.
In today's episode, we will be discussing the advent of beauty tech, a relatively new but fast-growing phenomena that is a key component of innovation within the beauty and personal care industry that focuses on providing customized and personalized solutions to customers. We will discuss how this trend came to be and how it's been progressing in India. Also, what the future holds for innovations within this space.
So, one of the biggest themes in this podcast is dissecting trends and opportunities in beauty and fashion that have been accelerated by the pandemic. These trends are not new. They're not something that the pandemic has, pushed forward, but they've been around for 3 to 5 years. But they really seem to be reaching its peak or really gaining traction because a lot of customers are the only avenue to buying a lot of products has been through digital medium. So basically, we discuss a lot of topics based on this.
Also, I think when it comes to beauty tech, I read somewhere that it is been going around ever since 1998, where the virtual beauty makeover was something that came into being, and in fact I think Cosmopolitan magazine was the one to report it. Like you mentioned, the pandemic of course has accelerated digital innovation, and I mean, if our previous episodes we have also discussed everything from the evolution of OTT platforms as a secondary marketplace to virtual luxury shopping, the beauty sector has also been seeing evolution. Newer startups are constantly popping up, offering different kinds of products and using innovative methods to grab customers' attention today, especially in the Indian segment, because, we've spoken about this before also, we're such a huge market and such a fragmented market. There's a huge space of innovation here.
Yeah, these innovative methods, they're sort of needed because consumers these days have so many options, right? When it comes to buying beauty and personal care and hair care products, with different formulations, a variety of colors, for different skin tones and undertones and all of that.
And this variety, I feel, has also kind of caused a saturation point in the market, I feel, despite how much we need the innovation. But I feel like we need products that are more specific to our skin and our hair and also our other cosmetic needs. But more accurate, because I feel like at this point, we are just like experimenting. The younger consumers, including myself, we're constantly experimenting. We see something on social media with skinfluencers or beauty influencers or even on YouTube, we're constantly watching videos and then we automatically are jumping products, one product after another product. And I feel like that's why it's also kind of caused a big saturation. I also feel personally using so many different products is not only not very cost effective, but at the same time is also kind of low-key damaging our skin and hair because, this constant experimentation, you're putting different type of chemicals with different formulas onto your skin and onto your hair. I feel like it would be so much nicer if there was some concretized solution, customized to my needs at least.
Yeah, I think exactly. Personalized solutions are needed more than ever because, with the advent of social media, right, and the awareness of the social construct behind diversity, inclusiveness within makeup and skincare products. This whole idea of one size fits all has been deconstructed for the better part of what, 4 to 5 years? So this whole trial and error thing also comes out of a lot of things that, even though there are a lot of products, they're not that different from each other. Which is why we need, I mean, they are different now with skin tones and everything, but it's not in a way that is so personalized for each person's, you know, ailments or issues when it comes to skin and hair.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like some brands, at least, you know, I've observed in India also, are now taking into consideration the need to be more customer-specific, customer-needs-specific, and are addressing these problems, and are also, you know, now incorporating more artificial intelligence and machine learning into their solutions, and creating different tools that can be very effective to customize their service offerings.
Yeah, I mean, Indian brands, a lot of Indian startups actually, like Bare Anatomy, Vedic, Skincraft, and Freewill have actually been doing this. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I have heard of them. In fact, I've seen a lot of advertisements from Bare Anatomy, but I've actually not got around to using a lot of these personally. But what I found was very interesting in a couple, especially I noticed this in Bare Anatomy, is that they have these questionnaires, you know, these surveys that they offer to their customers to provide a slightly more customized solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've used Bare Anatomy. It comes with the fact that actually my hair, I didn't ever have any sort of hair care that was really personalized for the type of hair that I have, which is an oily scalp and sort of dry ends. So I use Bare Anatomy, where you basically go to the website, they ask you like 6 to 7 questions in terms of what your hair type is and what you would like the shampoo, what kind of results do you want? Is it volumizing, shine, is it a lot of shine with your hair, or is it oil control, frizz control, whatever. You can select 3 options, and based on your, basically what your hair type is and what you actually want out of a product, they customize a shampoo, a conditioner, and a hair mask for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I've been using it. It's been working for me. I really like it. And I think that's, you know, using data from customers is something that, you know, it's obviously like the kind of thing that they have. And Bare Anatomy is not the only one. Vedics and Skincraft also have similar similar processes. Like Vedics is basically Ayurvedic brand. So again, Ayurvedic solutions for hair care and skincare. And Skincraft does that is for a more clinically dermatologist based brand. So under the same company, but different type of different type of like solutions in that sense.
Yeah, and I think it's also like tapping into different type of customer belief segments, you know, yeah. Because I think there is, when it comes to Indian consumers, you know, because like we spoke in our second episode with iBeauty, there is a whole bunch of consumers in India that is still very focused on Ayurvedic and natural solutions. And then, of course, there are like the more urban millennials and Gen Z who are more into clinical and dermatologist based solutions. So I think Skincraft is that way doing a really cool thing where they are kind of playing on both. On both aspects and are trying to...
No, I think it's... No. Vedics and... No, they're actually different. Vedics is for Ayurvedic and Skincraft is for dermatologist based.
Yeah, but it's under the same...
Under the same brand. Yeah, under the same company. I think it's called... The company is a data-driven e-commerce startup called Inknut Digital. So yeah, but you're right. Under the same brand, they're offering... You're absolutely right. Because people want... I mean, their preferences are so different. So it's nice to actually see them tapping into different segments.
Also, it's interesting to see how these companies gather data, you know, and use it to customize solutions. The way they build their questionnaires, you know, like you mentioned about Bare Anatomy, you know, 6 to 7 questions is, I think, is not a lot. It doesn't take a lot from a consumer's time to fill out also, and to make it very specific using words, using keywords that are that a customer is able to understand. Because, I mean, sometimes, you know, as a brand, you can use terms which are not very customer-friendly, but using correct language that a customer understands with these questions is also important. And also, you know, given the attention span that customers have today, I mean, you know, during our last episode with virtual shopping, virtual luxury shopping, we were I came across an article that stated that customers today have want to spend a maximum of 1 minute to a minimum of 30 seconds going through a website. So playing on such solutions that are very fast and creating surveys that are very easy for customers to quickly, you know, use like multiple options and just go through very fast. I think it's fun. It makes it interesting also, and it doesn't, like, it keeps a customer's attention also on track.
Absolutely. And it's honestly, the way they structure the questions is also very aesthetically pleasing. Like you said, simple language, something that a normal customer who may not be even be in tuned with the buzzwords when it comes to skincare and haircare can understand. So, and it keeps the attention span, because it is very interesting how companies have managed to gather this data, right? Because like you said, attention span is low, but, and data, okay, look, you can get data from a lot of places. It's what data is actually useful to you is something that is a biggest challenge for companies like this. So it's very interesting to see. And you're right, the way the questionnaires are made are very easy. I mean, even if you don't want to buy the product, you actually go through the questionnaire because you want to know about your hair health and what a customized product can actually give you.
Yeah, and also I've seen that some of these newer startups are also focusing so much on customer experience that they are kind of creating a follow-up also, which is very nice because the customer feels very engaged like that.
Absolutely. Vedics does this thing, you know, where the first set of questions is when a new customer comes on board, they answer like 7 to 10 questions. They have a personalized questionnaire. The customer buys the product. After, I think, about a week or so, they have a follow-up email to ask them if the product they recommended actually helped them address whatever issues or problems that they had. Now, by doing that, I mean, one, it's very personalized. It's not like your normal email marketing sort of irritating survey email, you know, it's specifically to the product that you bought. It helps Vedics gather data about to understand if the product worked or not, so they can actually improve solutions, and they build this into the algorithm. Then what happens is that, you know, when it comes to skincare and haircare, you know, you have to buy products are bought on a recurring basis. So when customers go back to buy the product, another question is actually sent to them to understand the efficacy of the product they actually bought. And if based on the results, they customize the product even more. So each time customers, based on what their hair is like, skin is like, they get products customized to their needs, because needs can change based on weather and, you know, country you're in, whatever. So Vedics actually does a good job of customizing products each time they buy a new one. So I think that's a pretty innovative and a personalized solution given, and it helps with customer loyalty.
And I think a customer loyalty model is very essential today, because, you know, skincare and haircare, I feel, are still are products that, you know, one requires constantly. Even if, let's say, you're not a color cosmetic user, skincare and haircare is still like basic need. You still want to use it. And I think it's very interesting that Vedics has adopted this model. I mean, I read a article in Financial Express that stated that Vedics has actually managed to beat the industry average of 30% repeat customers to get 69% repeat customers on its platform. Like, they've had 25 million orders since they launched in 2018. I mean, that's crazy. It's amazing how they've like literally more than doubled actually the customer rate. And most of these customers, interestingly, 90% of them actually are adopting the subscription model, which is even better.
Yeah, because a lot of the time customer loyalty is built right on subscription models. Like, single purchase, yeah, fine, you have people are introduced to the new product, but if you actually go for the subscription model, that means, I mean, come on, repeat customer, that's always always a better model for skincare haircare companies than anything else, really.
I think this is the perfect example of of something that I always suggest as a solution, as a consultant, is you have to today, man and machine need to work together. Yep. And I think what Vedics is doing is where you are taking in inputs from customers actually, and then constantly adopting and changing your algorithm in such a way. It's a brilliant example of how man and machine are coming together. And it's not possible, no matter what people say, that AI is the future, ML is the future. It's the amalgamation of the both that is going to create something that is successful.
Very true. I mean, technology does not replace the human personalized touch that goes into a lot of things. So they always, it always has to work together. And when you have, okay, obviously data, it's just data driven, but when you have people actually sit through it and understand what a customer's preference is, of course, that is something that would make the customer frankly feel that, hey, they make them feel special because like they are constantly updating the product for the customers. And that's, I mean, that's kind of amazing. It's a great model to have. And frankly, seeing the, what do you call, the demand, like they had 25 million orders in 2 years for a startup, that's incredible. I think it just shows that there's a pure indication that there's a demand for the service in India, right? Especially since we know, like we talked about in our iBeauty episode, there aren't many brands that specifically cater to skincare and haircare needs for Indians.
Yeah, and I think it's also about companies that need to, like we spoke earlier also in some of our other episodes, especially in the iBeauty one, where research and development is really required and heavy investment in this is also very essential to create unique edge products, you know. And it's interesting that like companies like Bare Anatomy, Vedix are taking this forward and are trying to invest heavily into R&D. And what I read somewhere is that they also have their own in-house R&D teams, which is actually benefiting them greatly versus outsourcing that, because you know that it goes through so many different sources. I mean, contract manufacturing, sure, for a startup is essential in terms of, you know, cost saving, but like if you can at least have your own in-house R&D team, I think this will help the brands to boost their income and boost the quality of their products greatly. Also, you know, currently, like we discussed in the iBeauty episode as well, you know, the investment from private equity and venture capital firms that these companies are getting is incredible. I mean, there's a lot of chances to really expand their product lines.
Absolutely. Bare Anatomy has received, like, what, since it started 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, it's received $1.3 million in seed funding, and Incut Digital, which is the parent brand for Skincraft and Vedix, has received overall $4 million in seed funding. And to me, one, obviously PE and VCs are heavily invested in beauty tech, but like you said, in-house R&D gives a unique edge to these companies. It's a USP for them, because a lot of the time, the products what happens is they can be too similar, even in beauty tech, even with the data-driven model that they function on. Having in-house R&D, having dedicated teams actually sitting down and studying these products, I think it gives them that USP that really helps them with customers.
Yeah, and also, you know, I mean, the other thing is that for sure, not all startups see the light of day. Not all startups are able to raise venture capital, you know, not because maybe they don't have the ideas, but sometimes, you know, it's such a competitive industry, you don't necessarily have the right network, you don't necessarily have the right people on board or the right way to plan a business. So I think what is also interesting is that currently globally, bigger companies like L'Oreal and Estee Lauder and some of the other bigger companies are also creating initiatives globally for younger startups to come up with innovative solutions that can help the industry as a whole. So, I mean, L'Oreal actually has a competition that takes place every year. I mean, it also has a venture fund, I believe. But they have this competition that takes place every year, which is like a beauty tech for good. I think that's the name. And it's amazing because it pushes it can give opportunities for young startups to get basic funding. And of course, you know, attach yourself to a grand label like L'Oreal. That's amazing. I mean, you're getting like a global audience for free. But of course, I mean, you are investing in your R&D and the effort is there. But I think these type of competitions are a brilliant platform.
I completely agree with you. Bigger companies like L'Oreal, Shiseido and Estee Lauder are giants in the beauty business, and when they have platforms like this, it sort of gives a seed to innovation. And for Indian companies, I think it's a thing that could actually work.
talking about tech and personalized solutions for skincare and hair care. You know, what do you think about diagnostic products that can be used for people in the comfort of their own homes?
Oh my God, I remember talking about this with you. Do you remember one of our first conversations about skincare and skincare products was about self-diagnosis? The thing about self-diagnosis that I'd come through a lot of, you know, I think it was like 2 years ago, a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of YouTube beauty gurus, as you call them, started doing this like trend where they took a microscope and they were like sort of putting it all over their skin to get a really good, like basically it's a microscope to see really what's in their skin. And okay, that's not a diagnostic tool, let's be honest, but it got me to thinking, and you know, based on a conversation, that what if there are actual tools where they study your skin, your skin type, the ailments that could possibly be there, and give you solutions to combat them. Now, solutions, obviously, not medical ones. You will not take advice from a tool. but basic ones, basically, what moisturizer maybe you can use or something like that. Or maybe if you have acne breakouts and all, you don't have to always go to a dermatologist. A tool can actually tell you how you can take care of your skin. That could be something that could be revolutionary.
Yes, I remember. I mean, this could work. I think it's a fantastic idea where you can diagnose your basic skin requirements. I mean, like a moisturizer, or maybe what type of moisturizer you want to use. But I feel creating such a product could be a very expensive endeavor.
Yeah, it is. It will be. There's no doubt about it. But I think in India, well, I mean, everywhere, not just India, but you know, what we can do is that products like this can be made by healthcare companies, imaging companies who are into imaging equipment, like basically x-rays and CT scans and all. They can make equipment like this because they have the bandwidth and the expertise to do it. And it can be refurbished. So refurbished equipment in India, imaging equipment in India is quite a big market, especially dominated by your brands like Philips and GE Healthcare and Siemens and stuff. So if they were to get into this business of creating personalized products from refurbished equipment, it could potentially be a lot more affordable than actually creating it just from the new products, basically from the ground up. And that it can be a lot more affordable for India as a solution. It's still expensive, but not as expensive as it could, you know, which could be from scratch.
Yeah, and I mean, let's face it, India has one of the most robust healthcare systems in the world.
Absolutely.
So I can imagine that we do have a lot of equipment that can be refurbished. I think that's quite a interesting solution. And I think also having such a tool can save you like small trips to the dermat.
Exactly.
You know, like, because sometimes it's so hectic to get an appointment to the dermat, you're chasing, you're this, that. I think it can be really interesting that, you know, your basic trip can be saved.
Exactly. And it's not like it's cheap, like to go to a dermat. I mean, for small skin issues, you're saving money and time, which, I mean, why not? In the long run, it's more financially, I mean, not, I don't know, financially stable, but it's just better, I feel, financially. But anyway, that's something to look at. But I think a product like this could be revolutionary in skincare and, well, cosmetic, like color cosmetics too, maybe.
Speaking of personalized beauty tech products, have you heard of this new product by L'Oreal called Perso? It's supposed to be launched now in 2021, actually. But I came across this one article that spoke of this product, and I watched a video on it also. It was very interesting because, you know, it's like it looks almost like your epilator, like a electric epilator.
Oh, nice!
But it was very cool because of the way that it's specifically for a skin diagnostic purpose, in terms of the fact that it can give you a lot of solutions. Like, for example, with not just skin types, but also with makeup and color cosmetics, where it, like, for example, like based on what dress you're wearing, it's gonna suggest you a lipstick shade to use, and you know, like. Very interestingly, it tells you about like different skin types. I think there was moisturizer and foundation.
Yeah, so I think it's a culmination. So it basically it dispenses these products out. Moisturizer, foundation and lipstick. So what it does is that it's a tool, and you can sort of put a picture up and sort of like put into the system. They sort of analyze your features and the skin, maybe whatever skin ailments or whatever it is. And based on the current weather conditions or wherever you are, it sort of dispenses a personalized moisturizer for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a device that has these ingredients. And moisturizer and foundation. Your exact skin tone and undertone.
That's incredible. Sometimes we go to the store and we end up buying the wrong foundation. Seriously. Come home and say, oh, what is the wrong color?
And a device is telling you that. And lipstick as well. Basically, they have multiple shades. And you can get whatever color you want. And maybe colors that look best on whatever outfit you're wearing for the day.
Yeah, and I think it connects. I was seeing the module. I think it connects to the app. And it uses like augmented reality to understand how this process works. I think it's a fantastic innovation.
Right? I mean,
it's similar to what we were discussing for what we would like to develop.
I agree. And we'll have to see how expensive it is. I'm sure it's quite a lot. But come on, if you literally never have to buy a lipstick in your life or foundation in your life, I mean, in the long run, especially if other multiple people can use it, won't it be more economical? We don't know.
I think it can be very economical. I'm pretty sure that such a product is not going to be cheap since it's at a nascent stage. But given the long run, I think once it becomes slightly more popularized, it can be fantastic. And also, I think about this, I mean, you know, it's L'Oreal has launched this solution for skincare right now. I'm just thinking about it from hair care also. I mean, you know, especially in India, where you have such diverse hair types and with weather conditions and all the problems that we face. Imagine like something that can understand your scalp, like is it scanty, do you have dandruff, all the basic scalpy problems, you know, dry hair, rough hair, edges, oily. So I think if you can kind of have a product that also can, you know, like similar, you know, like a purse for your hair, basically, and can kind of tell you what kind of a shampoo and moisturizer or hair mask you should use and how often you should do it based on your hair in particular, I think it can be so great. I mean, Dyson has hair wrapping tools right now, which I think is a great solution, but it's of course really expensive and, you know, but they have something that can curl your hair and straighten your hair. But imagine really something to improve the quality of your hair, maybe even suggesting natural solutions versus dermatological solutions. So, you know, telling you what natural hair mask you can create based on the location you're in also. I think it can be a fantastic solution.
I think so. I mean, like you mentioned, Dyson is a company that heavily involves itself in R&D. I mean, the technology is brought up from the ground up, right? It's very in-house. So a Dyson can actually come up with tools like this. You know, like you said, I mean, and the thing with hair is, you know, it changes from place to place. Like it depends on the weather. It depends on what location you are. Imagine having a portable tool where it tells you that, okay, based on these weather conditions and based on what your hair is like right now, use this product.
Also, this will help with hair.
Sorry?
The water, you know, we used to wash our hair. I mean, when I was studying in Europe, like, my hair was actually much nicer because of the water that was getting used
be.
To
exactly.
wash.
It just,
wash it.
Exactly. I think it's like a all-round solution where, like we asked in our beginning question, it's literally something where you don't have to do a lot of trial and error anymore because it gives you the solution and you don't have, your hair doesn't get damaged very often. Your spending goes down a lot more because you know you get a product that is exactly catered to your needs. So I think these kind of products, when they come to fruition, can be very, very successful in the Indian market as well.
So that's it for today's episode, guys. To wrap up, as a tradition, we want to leave you with some food for thought. Would you, as a customer, spend a little extra time to answer questionnaires to get customized products from beauty tech startups? Or would you invest in self-diagnostic tools for skincare and haircare products from the comfort of your home? Do you also believe these solutions would work in India and be revolutionary for the Indian beauty market? We look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions or any thoughts that you would like to bring forward on this episode, please reach out to us via DM on Instagram at coatsandmascara or email us coatsandmascara@gmail.com. Alternatively, check out our website where we are constantly posting blog articles for all our episodes, www.coatsandmascara.com. So we do suggest you check out our blog, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us your thoughts. We look forward to hearing from you.
I'm Sharveri.
And I'm Disha.
and we'll see you in the next episode.